As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now the second reading is Matthew 28, and it's verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Father, I just want to thank you for your word that we heard this morning, and just ask that you would speak to us now, that you would speak into our hearts, and that you would show us your truth, that you would encourage us, build us up. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the team supreme this morning. It's me and Joan. I don't trust electronics, but I trust Joan, and she's going to bring up my slides for me. For those of you who've been coming along recently, and Joe mentioned earlier, we've been looking at the subject of connections over the past few weeks, the connections that we have as Christians. And this morning's subject is connections in the workplace. Joan, if I could have the next picture. Because I'm sure that on hearing on that subject, many people are saying, No, you can't do this to me. It's Sunday. I don't want to think about work. It's the weekend. Make it stop. And other people might be thinking, excellent. I don't actually have a paid job, so I can now, you know, have a kip while he drones on for never knows how long. And so we're done. So I just want to do a quick definition, first of all, that when I'm talking about the workplace, I'm meaning it in its broadest sense, in its where we spend most of our week. So for some of us, it might be the traditional office job. Others of us, I know, are out on the road. Some people may have sales or account management jobs. Please don't boo. Sorry, Chris. For other people, we may be in schools. We may be teachers. We may be in colleges, universities. For others of us, we may be, in inverted commas, retired. My father-in-law is retired. He works harder than I do. Others of us may be in the home. We might be looking after families. We may be looking after relatives who are unwell. For some of us, it may be voluntary work. The workplace is where we spend most of our time during the week. So why are we looking at this subject? And before I get on to that, I want to tell you a story. Joan, if I could have the next picture. I am not a morning person. I don't know if any of you have seen that fridge magnet. Some mornings I wake up grumpy. Other mornings I let him sleep. That's how my wife feels about me. And I have to say, my ability to cope with mornings has not improved since I've become a parent. Many are the gifts and joys of parenthood. But one of the things that I miss the most about parenthood is the lie-in. Even the words are a balm to my soul. I am dragged from my pit at some unearthly hour by small children full of enthusiasm and joy. Now, one of the main challenges in the morning, particularly during the working week, is trying to get small children ready for school. For lo, they wanteth not to go. And my wife is much more organised than I am, and she has formulated a list of things that my lovely offspring, 10 and 6, need to do before they can go to school. And this list is set out for them. They have a fondness for getting to number 3, eat breakfast, and then rush to an activity that's not on the list, watch the television. But my wife is very organised here and says, no, these are your standing orders. You must do these before Fireman Sam appears. Now, it's interesting because in the Bible, Jesus gives his followers, his friends, us, standing orders. Things that all Christians are expected to do before they watch Fireman Sam. And one of these we heard in our second reading this morning, go and make disciples. Now, there's been quite a concentration, I think, in recent years on the fact that what Jesus says here is not go and bring people to know Jesus and to become Christians, but go and make disciples. And that's right. But actually, going out and spreading the gospel in word and deed is a key part of this. And I'm going to say something, perhaps a little bit controversial here, and if you don't agree with me, please come and rugby tackle me afterwards, although not like an England rugby player, because you'll miss me. Sorry. I sometimes think that we may, as a church as a whole, have lost focus on evangelism. I've heard a number of people say, well, the thing is, faith is a personal matter. I've also heard people say, well, no one likes having things thrust down their throats, and that's absolutely true. And I've also heard people say, well, the thing is, sharing your faith is something for people who are particularly gifted at it, you know, like people who appear on the stage at Spring Harvest and big evangelists and vicars. They're the ones for that. But Jesus makes it quite plain in this passage and in other parts of the New Testament, throughout the Bible, that it is each and every one of us who are Christians' responsibility to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those that we know. Go and make disciples. So the question then comes, okay, that's great, where? And the obvious answer is it's where we spend most of our time, the workplace. Carol mentioned in last week's sermons the phrase that we are called to be Christ's ambassadors. We are called to be Jesus in our workplaces, to point people towards him. I work in a satellite office, not in a satellite. I'm not an astronaut, don't worry. There's an image. I work in a satellite office of a company whose head office is in Dubai and Hong Kong. There are 9 people in our office, and I believe that none of them are Christians. I am the only Christian in that office. And there may be many people here this morning who have a similar situation. In the place where they spend most of their week, they may be the only Christian or maybe one of a few. And I don't know the circumstances of the people that I work with, but I would hazard a pretty good guess that I am the Christian that they know the best. So therefore, their best opportunity of learning about Jesus, finding out what this Christianity stuff is all about, is me. A At which point I say, Lord, this plan of yours, but seriously, that is a fact, I think, for many of us, that we are the best chance of the people that we work amongst coming to know Jesus. And there's a reason why we're the best chance. It's because God has put us in those workplaces. We are not there by chance or by luck or because we lack the imagination to think of anywhere else where we might want to be. God has put us there. It's interesting in the first reading that we read, and the penny's only really dropped with me recently, that when Jesus went out to call his first disciples who didn't know him, where did he go to find them? Did he go to church? No, because they didn't exist in those days. Did he go to the synagogue? No, he went to their workplaces. And that is what God is calling us, to go out and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in the places where we spend most of our time. And my instinctive reaction to that is, Lord, that's hard. Because when I think of it, the people that I work with, they see me at least 40 hours a week. And they don't necessarily see the nice me that you lovely people see. They see the real me. Because workplaces, by and large, are hard, aren't they? And people we work amongst see us at our best, you know, when successes and things are going well and it's great. And they also see me when I have had that phone call with that customer, you know, the one that doesn't get it, that rings up every single week and asks you the same questions. Well, and I put the phone down and I use words that are not here. And I rant and rave for some time, and my wife is sitting there thinking, what's new, dear? But then I just have that moment where I think, actually, what kind of advertisement is that? You know, if I am an advertisement for the gospel, what advertisement is that? And for some of us here, we may work also in difficult workplaces. Some of us may work for larger companies who seem to have reorganisations more times than I've had hot dinners, and I've had a lot of hot dinners, and I've worked for those kind of companies where you are constantly under the concern that you may be made redundant or that promotion that you've been working for ages, suddenly the position disappears. Some of us here may work alongside people who are just absolutely impossible to get on with. And you think, out of all the people I could work with, why on earth do I work alongside them? Some of us may have managers who simply are very unpleasant people or who couldn't manage their way out of a wet paper bag. Some people might work in companies where what goes on is questionable, ethically and sometimes morally. A workplace is a very difficult place to be. So how do we be Christ's ambassadors? How do we go and make disciples? I could preach a whole series of sermons on this, and I would not claim, even after 28 years in a workplace, to have the answers. But there are certain things that I believe the Bible makes quite plain, and I just want to share a few of them with you this morning. And Joe alluded to this actually earlier. Thank you very much indeed. This is, I think, the most important thing. Joan, if I may. I think first and foremost, it's about staying connected to Jesus. And this is what Carol talked about last week, that the most vital connection we have as Christians is staying connected with him. In the passage we heard from Matthew, it says right at the end, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I think all of us believe that Jesus is here now. I sometimes wonder whether I believe that Jesus is with me at 8:30 on a Monday morning. But he is. And he is there in that workplace throughout the whole time you're there, because he so desperately loves everybody you work with. Even the guy who sits opposite me and keeps on going on about B&Q, even though he knows I don't like DIY. Even the person that sits there and goes on and on about football, and you think, please shut up, because I really don't care whether the ball's round or egg-shaped. Just go away. God loves all of those people and desperately wants them to come to know him. He is there in that place. But so often, in amongst all the busyness and everything that goes on, I can forget that. I was in a shop in town the other day with my son, and I was standing there and I was looking at some books on a shelf. One second, he's there. The next second, he's gone. Because he does that. He's brilliant at it. And I'm like, where is he? Now, I was looking at the exit, so I knew he was still there, but he disappeared. And I found him hidden under somebody's coat, which seemed to be very strange indeed. The fact of the matter is, though, I sometimes think that the Lord is like that with me. He's there in that room, but he can't see me because I've disappeared. We need to stay connected to Jesus all the time in the workplace. And one of the things I've found really useful is when I'm on my way into work, I always bring the day ahead of me to Jesus and I ask him to be with me. I ask him to bless all that we do as a company, because I think that's right and proper and there's biblical examples of that. But I also ask him to help me to be Jesus in that place, to point people towards him throughout the whole day. And one thing I find quite useful, and you might think I'm a bit mad, and I probably am, is that when I physically go in to the building, I ask him to come in with me. Because I think there's something actually quite powerful about that. And it's about during the day, just remembering that he's there. Maybe when we're about to go into a difficult meeting, just inviting him in. When we suddenly find ourselves in a difficult conversation, which is a great opportunity to give a Christian viewpoint, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know what to say, send some words up of prayer and just ask for help. Some people still have cigarette breaks. I like to have a prayer break every now and then because I think it's useful. It is staying connected to Jesus. And the second connection I think is important, Joan, if you could, thank you very much. It's about building friendships in the workplace with people that we work amongst. I once knew someone who I worked with who was a Christian, and every day he would go out onto the seafront of Folkestone and pray, and he would come back and he would put his Bible on his desk and he'd pat it. And when he left our employ, people said, what was that all about? Because he didn't actually ever get to know anybody. Now, there are all sorts of things that one can say about how to spread the good news, but I think one of the critical things to me is it's about getting to know people and them getting to know you. It's about building up relationships and building up friendships, because then people know who you are. They know what you're about. They know you've got integrity. I had a gentleman who worked for me, and when I first knew him, he was quite a firm atheist. And we worked together for a couple of years. We didn't really talk about faith matters as far as I knew. And then one day he just came to me and he said that his little boy was doing RE at school, and he brought home some homework about a Bible story. And my mate said to me, he said, I don't know anything about this because I don't know anything about the Bible. He said, if I bring in the homework, can you give me some pointers? Because I want to help my son, but I can't. And it was the story of the Good Samaritan. So I took him through it. And from that point onwards, we started to have conversations about Bible stories, about what a Christian was, about what I actually believed, about who this Jesus person was. And I no longer work alongside him. As far as I know, he's not a Christian. But I do know that God started something in his life, and God will finish that something. And when I left the place where we worked together, he said to me, he said, you know, he said, the thing that fascinates me, he said, the thing that made me want to ask you things, he said, was I knew you. He said, I liked you. You were my friend. And he said, and that's why I wanted to hear what you had to say. And I think that's true for all of us, is when you build up friendships, that's when people start to listen to what you've got to say. Yes, they see you slam the phone down and call that customer a silly what's it or words to that effect, but they know the real you, and they can see that a key part of that real you is Jesus Christ, because that's how God made you. There's a person I know who makes a very key point of, as often as they can, and they try to make it weekly, they play football with people that they work with. And it's a key part, not just of their social life, but they believe of their Christian witness, because it helps them build up those friendships. These connections that we make are so critical, and God will use them wonderfully. You'll be glad to know that the other points are much shorter than those, but those two for me are absolutely critical. Joan, if I can have the next one. It's about prayer. One of the things that someone once said to me was, do I pray for the people that I work with that they would come to know Jesus Christ? And I have to say, at that point, I thought, do I? And so I think it is important that we do that. Now, some of you might say, hang on a minute, mate. I work in a company of 500 people. Is the Lord really calling me to pray for all of those people? Well, sometimes, perhaps. But I think, I work with 9 people. I think most of us work closely with small teams. And I genuinely believe that the Lord is saying, pray for those people, that they would come to know Jesus Christ. And we will see answers to those prayers. Joan, if I have the next one. I am the only Christian in my workplace. So when I'm out there doing the stuff, I am on my own, but obviously the Lord is there with us. But I believe it is critical that we support one another. I'm very fortunate in that I have friends in this church that I can contact regularly, go to, meet with, and say, these are the issues I'm finding in the workplace. There's a guy who suddenly seems to be interested in the Christian message. Pray that I can, have the right words to say. And I think it's important that we support one another as we go out there into our mission fields and seek to bring Jesus to other people. We've got this wonderful opportunity as a church. We talk a lot about the mission of the church, but when each of us is out there in our workplaces, that is the mission. That's part, a critical part of the mission of St. Leonard's Church here. And I think, we've got a wonderful opportunity to support one another through prayer, through talking to one another and, helping one another as we seek to be Christ's ambassadors where we are. Joan, if I could have the next one. I've alluded to this. It's about expecting fruit. In that passage from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, before he says the words that I mentioned at the start, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. This mission that we talk about isn't ours, it's God's, and he has invited us to be part of it. As I said earlier, God desperately wants the people we work with to come to know him, to know his love. And I believe that he will bring things to fruition. There are times when I've had conversations with people and they've asked me about what I believe as a Christian, and I'm convinced that the words that come out sound oddly like this, and I don't know if any of you have watched Blackadder Goes Forth, but it sounds like wibble. But I know that if I have spoken the truth and I believe that the Lord has spoken through us, that God will bring those words to fruition. So often we can look at how difficult it is to be a Christian on a day-to-day basis that we forget the amazing, incredible God that we believe in. And if he says that all authority has been given to him and then passes that authority on to us to go and make disciples, he will bring things to pass. But I think there's something else we need to remember. Joan, if we can bring this up. It's also about knowing we're on God's timetable. Sometimes we can sort of, you know, be in situations and we think, I've known this person for years and we're really good friends and I'm desperate for them to come to know Jesus and I'm just not seeing anything. But we're on God's timetable and he will bring things to pass in his time, which is always the best time. Many years ago, blow the dust off, when I was at school. There were schools when I was young, by the way. Thank you, Dan. Yes. There was a lad I knew called Simon. And Simon had the wonderful pleasure of being the person that I would speak to most about my Christian faith. Because, bless him, he was shy. And he rarely ever said anything rude to me. So it was great. So whenever, you know, you'd go along to like a big Christian festival and someone said things like I'm saying now, you know, go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ, it would be Simon, because he'd be the person who wasn't rude to me. And 6 years passed and I left school. And as far as I knew, Simon hadn't made any connection at all, really, with what I was saying. And the years passed, and I really hadn't thought of him very much. And about 15 years after I left school, I went to a open-air service on Good Friday that they hold down in Folkestone, and still do. They process through the town and up to the hills on the top with the crosses and have, like, a procession of witness. And I was standing on the top of a very windy castle hill in Folkestone when I found a tap on my shoulder. And I turned around. And it was Simon. I have to say that the first words that came out of my mouth were, what are you doing here? Well, and he said, oh, he said, I go to Cheriton Baptist Church. He said, I became a Christian 2 years ago. Now, I have no idea, in one sense, whether the words that I said to him were anything to do with his journey, but I believe that God works and he uses his own time. He loves those people, Joan, if you bring up the next slide, that we work amongst. I would like us, when we go to work, and some of us may be going to work after this, but going back in the places where God has called us to be, to look around the next time we're there at the people that we're sitting amongst, standing amongst, working with, the customers that we have the most to deal with, the clients we have the most to deal with, the children that we teach the most, and think, God loves these people more than we can ever imagine and is desperate for them to come to know his love. And God says to us this, quite simply, Joan, if you may, thank you, go. And the Bible's full of that word, actually, go. Go out there to where we are called to make people disciples, but always remember this. Joan, if you may, thank you. That in those places that we're at, no matter how hard things might be, how difficult it might seem that nothing's bearing fruit, that no one seems interested, that, you know, we're saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things, God is with us. He is with us always to the end of the age. And we will see wonderful things happening in the places where we are. And we will see people come to know God's love and come to know our Saviour. I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen.